Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, and in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for your goodness and your kindness, and thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God, and thank you for the soul that was saved today. And Father, thank you for all the things you've done for us. And once again, we lift our hearts to you and ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. Father, give us power, give us wisdom as we preach, that your will be done. And Lord, help us to have attentive ears, to hear and listen to the Word of God, and that it may teach us some wonderful things that we need to know. Lord, just help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I might mention also, I forgot a while ago during the prayer time, Joe Asbury mentioned to me when he was going out today that he was having some health problems. One of the reasons he's not here today or tonight, and he asked us to pray for him. Brother Joe Asbury, if you would do that, we'd appreciate that very, very, very much. All right, we're going to preach a message tonight on simply which I've entitled The Faithful Man. And we're going to go through some things tonight, these three scriptures tonight, and look how God determines and what God says a faithful man is. And I believe it'll be helpful to us. I believe that it'd help each one of us if we'd look at it and say these are things that's important to God. These things that he's mentioned here in these three verses of Scripture, they're important to him. And if they're important to him, they ought to be important to us. Amen. And so we're going to look at that. But first of all, I want to go over to the book of John, the 15th chapter. But hold your place there in the book of Luke. John, the 15th chapter. And let's start reading verse number 10. Let's start reading verse number 10, chapter 15. He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. These verses of Scripture, we find two different things mentioned. First of all, two different classifications, I guess you could call them. You have him calling them, he said, friends. He's calling them his friends. Also, in verse number 15, he talks about a servant. He said, I'm not calling you a servant. He said, a servant doesn't usually know what his master is doing. But he said, I'm calling you friends. And back in the Old Testament, if you're familiar with that, we find only one man that God called a friend in the Old Testament, and that was Abraham. God called Abraham his friend. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be called a friend of God. But I want you to know, he says in verse number 14, ye are my friends. Does it stop there? He says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Amen. He said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so to be a friend of God is a tremendous, wonderful thing. Now, folks, listen, we know how we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God. Amen. You can't get saved any other way. You're saved by the grace of God. But God doesn't want us to stop there after we get saved. He wants us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He wants us to grow in faith. Amen. He wants us to grow close to him and mind him and do what the Bible says. Not to be saved, because you're saved through his grace, but to be saved because you're saved, he wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and increase in our faith. Now, in the Gospel of John, in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, you call me Master and Lord. In other words, we are his servants. That's the 13th chapter. He tells us about us being his servant. He's our master. He's our Lord. We are His servants. In chapter 15, what I've just read to you here, you'll find He calls us friends. Now, we were His servants. There's no doubt about being a servant. But now He calls us friends. But then you go to the 20th chapter of the book of John, and He calls us His brethren. I mean, whether you realize or not, it gets better all the time. It's a wonderful thing to be a servant of God. And it's a marvelous, wonderful thing to be a friend of God. But boy, it's something to be a brother of God. To be one of His brethren, calling us His brethren, one of His children. That's a marvelous, wonderful thing. Now, I'm saying all that because simply this. That's what God wants for you and I. He wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be a friend. And if we do that, the only way we can do that is if we do what He commands us to do. See, as a child of God. And He calls us, of course, like I said, brethren. Now, how do you do that? What is it God expects of us? How does God determine what a faithful man is? Now, He gives us three things, simple things, in the scripture that we read to you over in Luke, the 16th chapter. He gives us three basic things, and we're just going to hit those three basic things and try to show us what God says a faithful man is and what God says a faithful man will do. Amen? So I think that'll help us. Amen? Don't you want to be found faithful in the Lord? I want to be found faithful, and I believe you do too. So He gives us three things here that are things that determine us being faithful. Okay? So in verse 10 there, of course, he starts it off, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And what He's saying to us is, if we're faithful in the very least of things, He said, we'll also be faithful in much. Now He said, if we're unfaithful in the least of things, we're going to be unfaithful in the much things, or the more things, the bigger things. In other words, He expects us to be very faithful in those things that what we would call least. And let me say to you, God will always, always try His servants. And He'll always try us with the little things. To see if we can handle the little things of life. If we can be faithful in those little things. Now, they really, I guess you would say, are not really little things in God's work. But they are little, you know, that's what He calls them here. They're smaller things. They're the things that are least. And, of course, those all build up. Those all add up to something very, very important. But God says we're to be faithful in the things that are least, in the little things of life. You know, that's one of the reasons He wants you to just be faithful to church. I mean, seriously. He looks at that. Are you faithful to church? Well, you know, here at every service, you said, does that matter? Well, sure it does. To God it matters. That's important to Him. He wants you to read your Bible. Amen. Those are the basics of Christian life. He wants you to read your Bible, study your Bible. Amen. He wants you to pray. Now, we might call those simple things, but to God, that's very, very important. You see, we ought to be faithful in those very basic things of the Christian life. So if you're an usher here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you may not consider that a big, high, important position, but I want to tell you something. God considers it so. And God considers that a very, very important position, and God wants you to just be faithful in being the best usher you can be. Amen? I mean, ushers here are very, very important people. I mean, they really are. The ushers are the first folk, basically, that people, newcomers that come into our church will see. How they're greeted as an usher, it makes so much difference in what they think of our church. Amen? So be a faithful usher. May not be a Sunday school teacher, may not be this or that, but I want to tell you something. To be a good usher is a tremendous thing. Wonderful thing. And God wants you to be just faithful in those things which we would call maybe the littler things. God wants you to be faithful in being a janitor. You know, God wants you to clean the church right. We've got those who clean the church, and God wants you to do a good job of cleaning the church. You say, well, that's not very important. Oh, yes, it is. It's important that God's house is clean. Amen. And God takes notice to how we do those things. Do we do a good job when we clean the church? Do we do a good job when we clean up our Sunday school room, the things that we need to do? Do we do a good job on those things? It's important. Let me say to you also, but I'm going to talk to the bus workers a minute. Whether you know it or not, God's concerned about how you keep your bus. You keep it clean? Does it look nice? That's a testimony. And God's concerned about that. How well is it taken care of? Do you oversee it? Do you make sure it's all right and safe? And do you see to it that it's clean on the inside? Swept out every week and looked nice and cleaned out, ready for those boys and girls to get on there? Amen. See, that's important. And those are the little things, what we would call the little things. But I want to tell you, God takes notice of those little things. He's concerned about those things, you see. A lot of folk don't think the nursery is too important of a ministry. I want to tell you, the nursery is a tremendous important part of our church. And it's important that you do a good job in the nursery. Amen. I mean, you do a good job in the nursery. It's very, very important that you take care of those children well and see to their safety and watch over. You know, those children are being watched over down in the nursery so that moms and dads and other folk can come up here and enjoy their services and get something from the preaching of the Word of God. They tell me one of the reasons that Sarah was wanting to get back to church soon here, she was going to be in the nursery here pretty soon. Did you miss that, Sarah? Was that today? Oh, shoot. She's wanting to get in there with those twins. Amen. She was excited about getting, so she's going to have to get rescheduled in the nursery. Amen. And we have teenagers go in with the adult and work with the adult in the nursery. It's good training for them. Amen. But them's important things. How you handle jobs like that? How do you handle those things that doesn't seem much to anybody else? Well, God says if you are faithful in the least things, you'll be faithful in the much. I want to tell you, when I got saved, God started me off with some jobs that was not what was considered maybe big jobs. I mean, Don and I cleaned a church, didn't we, honey? We cleaned a church. And I probably told you this before, but one time we forgot. I want to tell you like that, like to kill me. We rushed as fast as we could over there. We both felt so our hearts were broken. We forgot to go clean the church. And we run as fast as we could over there. Well, we didn't run. We drove as fast as we could over to the church and got in there. And the preacher was already there. He was there early. And we said, we'll get it cleaned up the best we can. But we begged his forgiveness. We said, that's not right. And we're sorry. And God taught us a lesson in that. I mean, boy, you got to keep your mind on what you're supposed to be doing. And you do those things. And we did. We never forgot again. I never did forget to clean the church again. Amen. Never did. You know why? Because that's important. Clean the church, make it look nice when people come into the house of God. Amen. It's a testimony, you see. And I want to thank those who's been such a blessing that helped to clear the lots out here. I can't name everybody. I don't even know who was all involved. But cleaned the lots and took care of the sidewalks and done all those things. Thank you so much. That's such a necessary thing, an important thing. And I know there's many of you who's come and checked it and done and helped. And I appreciate that so much. But those what the world would call the least things, but they're not in God's eyes. They're very, very important things, you see. And so we need to realize that God is testing us with these things which he would call the least things. You remember back in 2 Kings about that little maid? You remember how that they called her the little maid? She's just a little thing. She didn't do a whole lot, but she was one instrumental in getting a very, very important person healed. And all she done was mention the man of God to her mistress there, man of God, and he took care of it and got them together, and he was healed. And he was healed because that little maid done her job. Just a little thing. But he was healed. You realize that the Bible says and talks about when Elijah was there on the mountain, he said, go and look for that cloud. And his servant went seven times, as I remember. And he said, there's just a little cloud up there about the size of a man's hand. But that little cloud brought drenching rain back to Israel. It hadn't rained for 3 and 3.5 years in Israel. That little cloud. See, it was just a little cloud. You remember the little oil that the widow lady had? You remember the Bible says she had just a handful of meal in a barrel? And the Bible says a little oil. But you know it fed her and the man of God, her family and the man of God, until the drought was over. Just a little thing. See, it wasn't much. But it was important. You remember the little boy that had 7 loaves and a few fishes? Bible said that Jesus took them and multiplied them and fed 4,000 men, said, besides the women and the children. I don't know how many people there, probably 10,000 people there. I'm guessing. Okay, I don't know how many was there. Evangelistically speaking, probably 15,000. Now, I don't know how many was there. But there was 4,000 men, and I imagine it was close to 10,000 because the women and children was there too. Amen. And this little boy was faithful in bringing the seven loaves and a few fishes. See, just little things. What if he hadn't done that? What if he hadn't been faithful in that, you see? What I'm simply saying to you, Jesus is very, very interested in the least things. Now, let me say something to you. You won't do the little things. You won't do the big things either. No, you think you will. But you won't. You won't do the little things faithful. You won't do the big things faithful. You won't do it. No, God says you won't hear in this word of God. He says you won't. He said, I test you with the little things. Are you going to be faithful? You going to do right? You see, I test you with the little things. God's done that in all my life. He's done that in your life too, whether you know it or not. God's done that. God's testing you even now, testing me in the little things of life. And are we willing to do those things, you see? Very, very important. See, brother, I know other people would have done it too. Brother Nolliver lifted hands and said, I'll fix that. That may be little to some people, but that's not little to me. This preacher, I want to tell you. We need hot water out there in that building. I appreciate that, brother. I mean, I know other people would have probably done it too. He just lifted his hand first. I realize it, but I thank God for that. Thank God he's going to fix that for us. That may not seem much to some folks. I know Brother Jack Gordon here was out here the other day fixing some windshield wipers that was broke. It wouldn't work. Standing out here in the cold. I seen him. He was standing on a bucket, wasn't you, Brother Gordon? Stand up on a bucket so he can reach those windshield wipers. Amen. Just doing the little things, what the other folks would call little things. But now I'm not naming everybody. Many of you do the little things. Thank God for those little things. They have to be done. But God tests you with the little things. If you're too big to do the little things, you're just too big. Amen. I mean, you're too big. And so God tests us, you see, with the little things. I believe something. I believe in preachers' lives. I found out something down through the years. I believe what I need to do is I need to keep my preaching simple. Say, Brother Ross, that's not hard for you to do. No, sir, it's not. I'm pretty simple. But I believe in keeping preaching simple so folk can understand it. Now, there's sayings, don't get me wrong. We need something. But even the more mature things of the Bible can be made simple so the children can understand. Amen? So I believe down through the years, I've learned that. I want to just be a simple preacher. I want, when people come in, I just want them to be able to understand when they leave here, understand what's been said. Amen. Even the children down here, I want them to understand that, you see. And I believe that's important. And that's the things that God looks at, you see. Is God interested in the least things? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God's interested in that. See, if you won't be faithful, you say, well, give me a big job and I'll be faithful. No, you won't. No, you won't be faithful. You won't be faithful in the big things if you're not faithful in the least things, in the little things. See, that's how God tests you. You're not ready to do those things. You're not ready to get up in front of people and do things till you've proved yourself in the little things of life. Amen? See, that's what the Lord tells us. And you remember that because that's a good lesson for us to learn. That's something God wants us to know. He says, that's the way I test whether a person is a faithful man or not. See, little things make a difference. And then in verse number 11, he says this. He says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The unrighteous mammon is considered the worldly riches. Now he said, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is money or riches, and he calls them unrighteous because they're worldly riches. But he said, it's very, very important you be faithful in them. Now I'm not gonna take time. And it takes some study for me. I'll tell you, this first nine verses of this chapter is a very interesting portion of Scripture. I want to preach from that sometime. I mean, I really want to preach from. I want to do it from the depth of my heart and study, and because that's it's something really very wonderful that is said there. It's a parable given. But I want to say one of the things that God is saying in that parable just now. He's saying in that parable, he's telling us it's very, very important what we do with that which God gives us while we're here down on this earth, whether we lay that up for his treasures in heaven for the future, for the things of God, or whether we take it and use it down here for our own benefit. And I want to tell you something. To God, that's important. What we do with our treasures? What do we do with that extra we have? Do we lay anything up for God? See, one of these days, folks, we're going to exit this place. We won't be around here anymore. And what we do with that which God has given us is very, very, very important, you see. So he's saying to us that we need to be very careful about how we handle the riches that God gives us. And you say, well, I'm not rich. Well, yes, he's talking about that which you're given, what I'm given. And he says, very important how you handle that. And you know, over in the 1 Corinthians 16th chapter, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, I want to say something to you, folks. It's very, very important how you handle your money, whether you spend it wisely, all those things. But it's very, very, very important in to the Lord is, do you tithe? Do you lay aside? Now, when I was talking earlier, I wasn't kidding. Now, I understand this. But I want to tell you, when I was first saved, there's so many things I didn't know. Do you ever feel so dumb? I just didn't know so many things, and I was taught, and I've been taught a lot of things down through the years, and I've learned. I understand that. I know we need to be taught. But I'm just saying something to you. God cares about what you do with your money. And God cares whether you tithe and bring offerings into the house of God on the first day of the week as he commanded you to do. It's not the preacher commanding you. It's God commanding you and me. If you'll notice, there's never an offering goes by here. I don't put something in. I put my tithes and offering checks from last week and this week in this morning. But I put something else extra because you know why? I want these kids down here seeing this preacher give. So you all, maybe sometimes it won't be much, but I always put something in the offering. I want them to see me giving. Now, I put my tithes and my offerings in. I do that. But I always put something else in. You know why? Because I want everybody seeing this preacher give. Amen. Because it's right to give. It's right for me to give. Amen. So it's important that you handle your money right. And what the teaching of the Bible is that a tenth of whatever God prospers you, and that's not after you figured Uncle Sam's part. That's not after you figured all the other expenses you can take off. It's what God prospered you. He says, tenth of it belongs to him. And then tithes and offering on top of that. Correct? Is that right? Now, you can figure you want to play games with it. You play games with God, you won't win that game. You just won't win it. God tells us a faithful man will put his tithes and offerings into the house of God, into the offering. Every Sunday, he'll put them in there. That's what he'll do, but he won't save them up for special projects. Tithes and offerings are to put in the house of God for the running of the house of God, not for you to determine how it should be spent. See, I had a man, I told you this one time, I'm going to tell you again, just act like I never told you before. When you get older, you repeat yourself. A man came up here and he told me one day, he said, I'll buy you a new organ right over here. He said, I'll buy you right there. He said, I'll set it right there for you, buy you a brand new organ. I said, well, it's kind of you. He said, you go pick it out. And he said, I'll buy it. I said, I want to know something. You been tithing every week? He said, what do you mean about been tithing? You been putting in your tithe every week? I don't do it that way. I'm going to buy you an organ. I said, you ain't going to buy me no organ. See, it's the way we do it around here. You just keep your money. Tithes and offerings go into the offering plate. We would have had a brand new organ. I would have went and picked it out. I don't know how much it would cost. I have no idea, but all I had to do is go pick it out, and they'd have brought it in and set it right there. I said, you keep it. You put your tithes and offerings into the house of God every week. If you're saving up your tithes and offering, you do a special project, you're not doing right. Amen. So you put your tithes and offerings into the house of God. Now, this is just good preaching, folks, good teaching. Amen. And that's what you need to get in line with that. Do what's right because God's checking you out. Are you a faithful person or not? If you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you're not faithful. God don't consider you faithful. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now listen to me. Some of you are young in the faith. You need to grow. Don't you go away from here and take that and say, oh, Brother Ross wants his money. No, I don't want money. I want you to be blessed. And God blesses through tithes and offerings. And I want you to learn. No one puts any pressure on you. You ever hear get Brother Ross get up here for the offering and beg people for money and say how much you ought to get? You ever hear Brother Ross do that? I never do that. I want you to put your tithes and offerings in the offering plate because that's right. That's scriptural. That's true. I just want you to mind God. That's all I want. And I'll do the same thing. Amen? It's right and proper for us to do it. So you say, well, why does God check it out? Well, God checks it out by seeing how you handle your money. Now, you can come up with any excuses, because I've heard them all down through the years. You're not going to give me any excuse that I haven't already heard. I've heard all the excuses. I've heard them from the fact that I don't have a month's money to tithe, that I don't believe in tithing. And if you don't believe in tithing, you don't believe the Bible. You do not believe the Bible if you don't believe in tithing. You say anything you want. You don't believe it. No, no, no. Absolutely not. You don't believe the Bible, because the Bible teaches tithing. The Bible teaches tithing and giving offerings. Amen? So I've heard them all. I don't believe any of them. I believe what it is, people just don't want to do what the Bible says. Amen? So he says, I'll check you out. See if you're faithful. You know what I've always thought about? I don't know how in the world I'd want to give something less than the Jew gave under the law, that I'd want to give under grace less than what they give under the law. Phew, man, they give a tenth in offerings under the law. Man, I live under grace. Amen, thank God. And I certainly wouldn't want to go under what they gave under law. Amen, so we just give because it's right, you see, to give. And so God says this, I'm not going to commit to you the real riches, the true riches, if you can't handle the unrighteous mammon. If you can't handle your money and do it right, I'm not certainly going to give you the true riches. Well, go with me over to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and I'll show you what Paul said, true riches. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verse number 10. Says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing. Now listen to what he says, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. You see, true riches is not the material riches that we have in this world. Paul said, I'm poor, but oh boy, I sure am making a lot of folk rich. You know why? Because he was preaching the gospel to them, preaching the word of God to them. He was enriching their lives. And he said, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. The Apostle Paul understood something. He understood the truth that in Christ Jesus, he's an heir of God. Joint heir with Christ. He possesses all things. That's the true riches. And God said, I'm not going to give to those the true riches that can't handle the unrighteous mammon. If you can't handle it right, if you don't spend it right, you don't do right, you don't pay your bills, and you ought to pay your bills, let me say to you that, you ought to pay your bills, you ought not to live above your means, you ought to live so you can pay all your bills and do right. If you can't pay them all, you need to cut back on your living somewhere. Correct? You ought to pay your bills. It's right and proper to pay your bills. And the first bill you have is your tithes and offering. Pastor Ross, on Monday morning, my wife will testify to this. I get paid on Sunday, get my check, take it home. First thing I do on Monday morning, I sit down and get ready to go to the bank. And the first check that I write in my checkbook on Monday morning is my tithes and offerings. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just telling you I practice what I preach. You know why? Because I believe he comes first. That's the first thing I do. I don't do anything else. I don't spend anything else until I've given God what is due him, what I believe he wants me to give him. I do that. I believe it's right. I believe it's proper. Now, whether you do it on Monday morning or when you do it, I'm not telling you when to do it. I'm just simply saying we ought to do it. Amen. I don't know how you handle your things, but we ought to do it. Now, God says you'll never have the true riches till you've learned how to handle the unrighteous mammon. You'll never have them. God won't give them to you. No, no, no. You won't be blessed in life like that. You never will be until you've learned how to handle the other. I've thought many times, I know I'm hanging my hat here, but listen, I've thought so many times, what a terrible thing it would be to face God one day and tell him that I spent his money on some of the things down here on earth, spent his money on things that I wanted or I desired, that I spent the money that belonged to him. I'd be so ashamed. I'd be so ashamed. to go before God and say, God, I spent that time. That was your money, I know, but I spent it. I needed something. I needed a new suit, or I needed a new car, or I needed this or that, and so I took your money, went out and spent it. Oh, my. Shame, shame on us. Wouldn't that be horrible? Go before God and had to pay for something like that, had to answer to God for that? What a terrible thing. See, God says that if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you won't be faithful in the true riches, and so I won't give them to you. Amen. God says, be faithful in that which is least. And he also says, be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, your money, your riches. Amen. Thirdly, verse number 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? That's in chapter 12, Luke, verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Bible says the Lord is going to make ruler over all that he hath to him that is faithful in doing that which he had given him to do while he was gone. Now, it belonged to another man. It didn't belong to him. It belonged to this man who owned it. And I believe he's telling about the things that God has given us. And we're to be faithful with these things that God has given us. We're to be faithful about those things. And God says he'll even make us ruler over all things. Do you know one of these days, in all seriousness, one of these days in the millennial, God tells us that we're going to be there to reign with Christ in the millennial? Amen. Don't we want to be faithful stewards down on this earth? And that which belongs to the Lord, should not we be faithful about? If he is a preacher, shouldn't he be faithful to the Bible that God gave him to preach? Should he ever cut a message? No. Oh, no. No, 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 no. He shouldn't cut a message. Nothing will be done. You cut messages. Nothing will be accomplished. You're not to be a preacher is to be faithful preaching the Bible, the Word of God, because that Bible belongs to the Lord. It's his word, and I'm sent here as a servant to bring the word of God. Amen. So I've got to be faithful about those things, whether you like it or not. Right? Got to be faithful about that. You've got to be faithful about the things of the Lord, whether people like it or not. You just got to be faithful about them. Amen. Don't make a difference whether people like them or not. We'd be faithful to the Lord. So I say to you, you know, we're to be faithful. God tests us with another man's things. Now let me say this about our workmanship. You know, most of us work for somebody. The one that's over me is the Lord. I work for somebody, folks. Whether you think I do or not, I work for someone, and he's quite a taskmaster. But you work for somebody too, more than likely. You may be a boss, I don't know, but you probably got a boss over you. And how you do your job is very, very important, because that belongs to another man. And God considered that very serious, that you do a very good job. You do the very best you can, because he's watching, he's testing, and he's seeing how you do with another person's, or whatever it might be, his job or his business or whatever it might be. He watches how you handle that, how you do that. Amen. And he tests us. He tests people in ministries. He's interested in what you do in this ministry. This ministry is a ministry that God has given me. He's given me to preach this ministry. And he tests you to see how you work under this ministry. The Bible tells that the man of God is to rule the house of God. He's to be over the house of God. He's not over you like a dictator. He's not over your home. You're the man is over the home, but he's over the house of God. And he has authority over the house of God. And how you react to that authority, let me guarantee you, makes a big difference to the Lord. Amen? That's why that when, and let me just intercede here. If you want to work in a ministry, you don't go and appoint yourself or appoint somebody else in that ministry. You go through the preacher. Preacher's over the ministries here. Amen? Sure. And see how you react and how you do in those things is very, very important. Some people will do anything they can. They'll go around the preacher rather than to go through the preacher or to the preacher. They'll go around the preacher. That's wrong. No, it's wrong.
God didn't put you the head of the church. Amen. He didn't put you there. No, no, no. You don't want to go do that. You want to go to the preacher. But many people do anything they can. Rather than going to the preacher, they'll do anything they can to do it their way. God's testing you, I guarantee you. And if you can't handle that which is another man's, you're considered unfaithful in that area of your life. So God tests. Look at how Elisha was tested under the ministry of Elijah. Elisha was a very faithful man. Faithful and loyal to Elijah till Elijah went home. Caught up in the air and God took him home. Amen. But Elisha was faithful, and then God gave him the responsibility to take over as a prophet of God. You think about Joshua and Moses. You look at that, and it's the same thing. Same thing. You watch Joshua, how faithful he was to Moses. He didn't try to usurp Moses' authority. No, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. He was very faithful to Moses until God took Moses home. Now he said, Moses, my servant's dead. Joshua, it's time for you to step to the back. Time for you to do it now. You're the leader now. But my servant Moses, he's dead now. And I want you now to take over leadership. But while he was alive, he was faithful. You look at the life of Timothy, and you look at the life of Paul, you'll find the very same thing. Timothy never usurped the authority of Paul. Never did. No, no, no. You know why? Because he did what he was told to do. One day, Paul went on home, and Timothy, I think, became one of the main leaders in the church. I believe Timothy was very, very important in the church. But I'm just simply saying to you, he tests you, folks, and see if you're faithful. Amen? So it's simply this, very simple message. He'll test you in the least, the little things of life. And until you've learned to be faithful in little things, you're not going to be faithful in the big things. Amen. He'll test you also with the finances of your life. You need to learn how to handle your finances. Be faithful with your finances. Amen. Say, Brother Ross, I got a mess in my finances. Well, let me share something with you. You know what? You can get out of that mess. You really can. You may have a mess in your finances. I understand that. This preacher was there. Many years ago, before I got saved, I got ourselves in a mess. And after I got saved, began to learn the Word of God, began to learn what God wanted me to do according to finances. He helped me, He taught me, and He helped me to straighten out my finances and do right. Now, I'm just simply saying, yes, that takes time. You may have a mess, but you can straighten it out. God will help you. Amen. But you won't straighten it out if you're going to rob God. No, no, no. No, no, no. Don't work that way. Then he tests you if you're faithful in another man's ministry or business or whatever it might be. Whatever belongs to another man, he's testing you. How do you handle that before he gives you your own? Amen. He wants to be found faithful. The little things, finances, that which is another man's. He says those are three things that he tests a man on to see if he's faithful. Amen. So if you're not faithful in one of those areas of life, don't give up. Simply say, you know what, that's an area I need to straighten out. I need to do right in that. I want to be found faithful when I stand before the Lord. I want to be faithful. And God will help you to do that as we pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness and your wonderful grace. Thank you for the teaching of your word, and Lord, help us to be found faithful in the eyes of God. Doesn't really make much difference, Lord, what men think if we are faithful in your eyes. And Lord, that's what we ask. Help us to be faithful according to the Bible, according to your word, what you give us to do. And then, Lord, we know that we'll please you when we're faithful. And Lord, those are three areas you've taught us. And thank you for teaching us those things. Help us now in the wonderful name of Jesus to do thy will. Amen.